Good evening on this most auspicious of evenings, the anniversary of the very first teaching that Buddha Shakyamuni gave at Varanasi.
The being that went on to become Buddha Shakyamuni was once ordinary like ourselves, having the same hope and wish for lasting stable happiness freed of pain and suffering. He took that wish and applied himself diligently, putting the teachings into practice, developing bodhicitta, practicing the six perfections, and attained enlightenment. And the result of his enlightenment was the teaching of the Dharma. And tonight is the anniversary of that first teaching. Today is not the anniversary of Buddha's enlightenment. He had attained enlightenment previously, but today is the anniversary of his first Dharma teaching. Over many years, he taught a wide variety of teachings, but now is the anniversary of the very first, which is the foundational and the basis really of all the teachings, the heart of the teachings, which is the Four Noble Truths.
After teaching for about 50 years, the Buddha passed from this world, yet his teachings remained. And then they were commented on extensively in India and later in Tibet, such as by many great masters, including Jerenpuche Lama Tsongkhapa himself. And amongst his commentaries, some of the most remarkable include the great stages to the path to enlightenment, the Lama Rinpoche, which was also presented in abbreviated form, the middling length stages stages of the path to enlightenment, and then a very brief summation of the stages of the path to enlightenment, the Tsongkhapa spiritual experience. And we are looking at, or have been looking at for some time, a commentary on that short lamrim, the song of spiritual experience.
And All the teachings of the Buddha, as well as the commentaries composed to those sutras, were composed in order to lead all beings without exception to the state of lasting, stable happiness of enlightenment. And in the tradition of the Lamrim teachings, the stages of training have been laid out in a sequence. First, those trainings which are those practices which are in accordance with a practitioner of initial capacity. Thereafter, the trainings which are in accordance or shared with practices which are shared with practitioners of intermediate capacity. And then thirdly, come the trainings which are unique or uncommon or unique to a practitioner of supreme capacity. Last week, we concluded looking at the perfection of wisdom, which had looked at over four separate teachings. And this is a training of great importance, because all our suffering comes from one root cause, and that is the ignorance of self-grasping. The consciousness that is not in accordance with reality, this ignorance, grasps at the self as existing in a way that it does not. And from this, all our afflictions, such as anger and attachment, arise, and a contaminated karma is accumulated. This is the process that keeps us bound in the suffering realms of samsara. But there is an antidote, and that antidote is the perfection of wisdom, the cultivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness. And that supremely important teaching is what we looked at over the last month. The vast array of the activities of a bodhisattva that they engage in, whilst they are limitless, they can be the best possible summation of them is into the six perfections, which we've now looked at in some detail, as well as the what we come to now, the four ways to positively influence others.
So Deni
The Bodhisattva has two primary tasks. That is the maturation of their own continuum and the maturation of the continuum of others, the mind stream of others. To bring this about, the Bodhisattva engages in these two sets of practices, the six perfections and the four ways to positively influence others. The first set, the six perfections, which is a summation of the vast the wide range of deeds the Bodhisattva engages in, they engage in these so as to ripen their own continuum. So what does this expression mean? Why is it that said that the Bodhisattva engages in the six perfections so as to ripen their own continuum? Well, in the same way that a piece of fruit that isn't ripe is not going to taste very nice. Similarly, or just like we would wait for that piece of fruit to ripen before we'd eat it, so too, a bodhisattva needs to ripen their continuum so as to be able to rapidly spiritually develop. What identifies a bodhisattva with a ripened continuum as opposed to a being whose continuum is yet to be ripened? A bodhisattva ripens their continuum, or a continuum of a bodhisattva has been ripened when definite emergence has been generated. Bodhicitta has been generated. Wisdom directly realizing emptiness has been generated. So these are illustrations of different aspects of the bodhisattva's continuum ripening. An ordinary being like ourselves, these realizations are yet to be attained. Hence, our continuum is yet to ripen. And the bodhisattva engages in the ripening of their continuum so that they can eradicate all the obstacles to them becoming a Buddha for the sake of others. Those obstacles are the afflictions together with their seeds and imprints. Obstacles such as laziness, attachment, anger, jealousy, and so forth. The bodhisattva then strives to ripen their continuum so that they can spiritually develop and be of ever greater benefit to others. That's the purpose of engaging in the training of the six perfections. That's the purpose of ripening their own continuum.
ちゃれん、じゃんじゅんべちゃれんじるわだ、さんらんにすんじゃたんじゅぎどんだりゃ、さんじょこぼんとやだ、せんいどんわせやだ、てぎちゅぎゃぎ、れがちゃれてにいざ、ぱじゅんじゅぎにゃめでそそらんはさんじょこぼとびちゅど、そそらんぎぱじゅんじゅぎにゃめんじゃ。で、せんだらや、ねさんじょこぼとびちゅど、だしにそそぎにゃめちゃばなじゅ、こんずれにゃめんじゅじゅやでじるわだ。
Bodhisattvas strives to ripen their own continuum, and the complete ripening of their continuum is the ripening of the fruit of the of enlightenment, the ripening of the path into enlightenment. So therefore, the Bodhisattva strives for the benefit of immeasurable beings through cultivating, or to re-express that. The Bodhisattva trains in the path, develops the path within themselves, ripens their own continuum for the benefit of immeasurable sentient beings. This is because the Bodhisattva understands clearly, without training the mind, cultivating the mental paths within themselves, the final result, the full fruit, the ripening result of enlightenment cannot be achieved. In fact, no ripening results can be achieved without training the mind. So it's for this purpose that the Bodhisattva engages in their first task, or their one of their two tasks of ripening their own continuum. Together with this, the Bodhisattva also engages in activities in order to ripen the continuum of others. And that is the four ways to positively influence others that we come to tonight. So these are done with a motivation, or engaged in with a motivation, to ripen the continuum of others. This is essential for the Bodhisattva to fulfill their objective, enlightenment for the sake of others. The Bodhisattva then, striving for a singular goal of enlightenment, and they're doing so through the achievements, or the cultivation of these two paths. The one is the cultivating of their own continuum so that they can spiritually develop. And the purpose of spiritually developing is so they can engage then in their second main task, which is to guide others in their spiritual development. So therefore, the sole focus of a Bodhisattva is to spiritually develop them, for themselves to spiritually develop in order to guide others skillfully to in their own spiritual development. So it's for this reason the Bodhisattva strives to ripen their own continuum as well as the continuum of others.
なんで、今、ディアンチェル、ダンアンジュ、ジャンジュセンバ、ナムジ、ニャムレンチェ、ダン、ソソラン、サンジュ、コバン、トビチルド、ネガニス、ニャムレン、ネガユメ、パシンチュ、ディガニス、ニャムレン、ナガドゥス、ニャムレン、ナンゴレス、ディシェルワダ、ディザン、アンジュ、ニャ、ダ、ジャンジュセンバ、ナムジ、ソンジュ、コバン、トビチュ、ニャムレン、ディシナワザ、ダンアンジュ、ニャ、ドゥチェン、ジャンジュセンバ、ドゥス、ニャムレン、ディシナンゴレス、ディガン、パ、ドゥチェネ、マ、ジッケ、ハコワチェ、ダ、ソソラン、アンディナシンチ、 解脱也给俺做嘞，别做解脱，俺做做讲的解的，俺做端的，俺地端的嘞，俺做呢。他讲是什么？拿心结呢？你们解脱也忙活办的，也不用来端的，俺是他的那丢丢事情，俺做那些解讲的解的。俺的，俺的让举明白的解别个的，让你们解他的嘛些事嘞？他的人得嘛些嘛的的，先举先了呀，碰到主堂先举。
We've completed the presentation on the six perfections that the Bodhisattva engages in so as to cultivate their own continuum in order to be of greatest benefit to others. This is how Bodhisattvas are training in the world right now. It's how all the Buddhas trained in the past. And us who aspire to become a Bodhisattva and to train in the actual six perfections, we right now should emulate their example. Right now, we should emulate their example. Because combining aspiration With activity, we will achieve the result of cultivating bodhicitta within us and entering into the paths of the bodhisattvas. With aspiration and activity, this will be achieved. Tonight then, we come to the second of the major outlines. Having looked then at the trainings about cultivating the bodhisattvas continuum so that they can benefit others, now we look at those trainings specifically related to enhancing the continuum of others to aid them to achieve their own enlightenment.
那你吧,先去明白,先去明白,多西了,立春年,是的,多西,那个立春年,是的,那个日了呢,那什么,什么,也都能上月,托巴家,你别,三别,过年,浪的,是的,那当我工作的了,那得,这就是什么,那别的,都能够了。Turning
to the text. As usual, the translation's going to be a little bit different. Also, the editing I made here in this text, the numbering is a little mistaken. But anyway, so we follow it. First, it's the same. The manner in which to train in the four ways to positively influence others. With the motivation to attain enlightenment for the sake of sentient beings. So that's the motivation with which the bodhisattva engages in the four ways of positively influencing others. In brief then, the four ways of positively influencing others, the first is giving whatever is necessary. The second, pleasantly teaching the Dharma. The third, encouraging sentient beings in the practice of the Dharma. Fourthly, living in accordance with the teachings yourself. These four then are engaged in with the motivation of bodhicitta, which is in that first line that we've already read. And then those four again in brief are firstly, giving whatever is necessary. Secondly, pleasantly teaching the Dharma. Thirdly, encouraging sentient beings in the practice of the Dharma. And fourthly, living in accordance with the teachings yourself. The
Bodhisattva engages in these four activities with the sole motivation of benefiting sentient beings. So how does the Bodhisattva set out to benefit sentient beings? Well, the Bodhisattva is training in the six perfections themselves, thereby accumulating the causes for happiness and eradicating the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. This is how the Bodhisattva is training in order to achieve the lasting, stable happiness of enlightenment. Other beings, they too long for lasting, stable happiness. They too need to achieve their own enlightenment. The technique for all beings to achieve their own enlightenment is no different from the technique that the Bodhisattva herself is engaging in right now. In that, the causes that will lead to enlightenment need to be accumulated, and the causes of suffering, they need to be eradicated. This is the activity that the Bodhisattva is engaging in through the cultivation of the six perfections, and this too is what sentient beings need to be guided in so as to achieve their own enlightenment. Just like the Bodhisattva is striving to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness in order to eradicate the root cause of all suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping, as well as other techniques to eradicate, to weaken the other afflicted minds, so too do other beings need to be guided in the same training. And just like the Bodhisattva is striving in the perfections of generosity, ethical restraint, and so forth, in order to accumulate the causes for happiness, so too do sentient beings need to be guided in accumulating those same causes. So therefore, for the Bodhisattva to achieve their goal of enlightenment for the sake of others, what the Bodhisattva herself is training in is exactly what she needs to guide others in as well. Just then, to repeat from the text what we've covered already, with the motivation to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So that's the motivation of bodhicitta, the bodhisattva has. They then engage in the four ways of positively influencing others. And those four are, the first is generosity, or giving whatever is necessary. The second, pleasantly teaching the Dharma. The third, encouraging sentient beings in the practice of the Dharma. And fourth, living in accordance with the teachings themselves. The first of the four ways to positively influence others is initially make material offerings in order to create a positive connection with sentient beings. So this, now we're turning to the text, so it's a fuller translation of what you have there. Initially, make material offerings in order to create a positive connection with sentient beings.
Then
So I'll read first my own translation, then the translation from the text. Initially make material offerings in order to create a positive connection with sentient beings. And from the text, make offerings in order to assemble an entourage of students. The term we have in the text, assemble an entourage, is the literal translation. A meaning translation is to create a positive connection. So this term, assemble an entourage, can be understood in different ways. So the way we'd usually use it in society is someone with power and authority, maybe a senior executive or a boss of a large company. They will usually have an entourage, and that entourage would consist of those of many staff, those who help them. So that's in society, the general meaning of an entourage. It'll be, for example, the staff around an employer.
When found in Buddhist texts, has a similar meaning, but the context is quite different. So the circle of students around the Buddha, these would be called his entourage. So they are students to be guided to enlightenment. Those are the entourage of a Buddha, or that is the meaning of an entourage of the Buddha. It doesn't really work in English, but it's a different word. The same word in Tibetan is entourage, because it has the meaning of the Tibetan word is more around. So just like around the Buddha, you have the students, around the boss, you have the staff. So it's another a way to understand the same Tibetan word is the surroundings around a stupa, or the surroundings of a stupa.
Yeah.
To summarize then, this word for entourage, we can understand as those who surround the king, those who surround the Buddha, or a lama, those who surround an employer, surrounding a stupa, the surroundings of a stupa, the surroundings of a house. So we can understand the same word in these differing ways. The second term that accompanies it, we have as to assemble or to gather. To take the term then to assemble an entourage, and then related to some of those illustrations, the way one would assemble an entourage around a stupa would be many people gathering around the stupa. So that's one way to understand the term in that context. And then if we take, say, the king, then people an entourage of people would gather around the king, and they would do so because maybe to gain favor, or maybe so as not to receive a penalty because they didn't gather around the king. And then in terms of the Buddha, then students or an entourage with faith would gather around the Buddha in order to receive teachings. So these are then differing ways to understand the same term. The meaning then in our context, make offerings in order to assemble an entourage of students, or alternatively, make material offerings in order to create a positive connection with sentient beings. Here, again, with the motivation of bodhicitta, in order to benefit others, the bodhisattva will make material offerings to them. The bodhisattva will make material offerings to sentient beings so as to eradicate material obstacles to practicing the Dharma, as well as to create a connection with sentient beings and a sense of closeness with sentient beings. Because through making material offerings and caring for the material needs of sentient beings, a sense of closeness and a connection is created by the bodhisattva with sentient beings.
The reason why a bodhisattva will engage in practicing in acts of material generosity to sentient beings is because the bodhisattva's sole objective is to take all beings to full and complete enlightenment. And the bodhisattva knows that the only way any being can achieve enlightenment is to cultivate the causes that lead to lasting happiness and eradicate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. And this can only be done through receiving teachings and meditating on those teachings, cultivating a mental path and developing that mental path into enlightenment. That's the only way any sentient being can achieve lasting happiness. Therefore, so the bodhisattva can guide sentient beings in how to cultivate the causes for happiness and eradicate the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering. Sentient beings need to have a sense of closeness with the bodhisattva. They need to trust the bodhisattva. They need to look at the bodhisattva or view the bodhisattva as someone they can rely on, as someone who they can see as dependable, in particular in terms of their motivation and intention, and thereby the quality of their advice. Because we know also from society, we are far more likely to accept the advice or be positively influenced by someone whom we like and someone whom we trust. So therefore, if sentient beings, if students see the bodhisattva as someone who cares for them and therefore is taking care of their material needs and helping them overcome their material obstacles to engaging in the Dharma, seeing the bodhisattva then as someone they like and trust, they are much more likely to accept their guidance and to be influenced by their advice in how to cultivate the causes for happiness, and eradicate the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering.
In society, we know that generally people appreciate being given material support. They appreciate being given material gifts. So we can see the impact of giving material support in society. So similarly here. But a doubt may come to mind. One may think, I can understand the effectiveness of offering material support to those who are impoverished, but what about those whose material needs are satisfied, or those who have an abundance, those who are wealthy? How would a bodhisattva materially make material offerings to such people?
Even those with an abundance of material goods, who have no material wants at all, still the bodhisattva would make material offerings to them. For example,
Because a bodhisattva is renowned for many things, but certainly there's skillful means in how they apply the teachings. So, for example, they would invite those who, with a material abundance, invite them for a meal, cook them a meal, and serve it to them, and then engage in conversation, building a connection with the person, building a relationship with the person, in order to be able to influence them in how to cultivate the causes for happiness and eradicate the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering.
We'll know in society that there is a danger that people make material offerings to others, give gifts, or flatter them, speak nicely to and about them, but with a bad motivation, thinking of their own benefit. So this certainly happens in society. But we also know that where that happens, the benefit is short-lived, because it becomes clear soon enough that the person who gave us gifts, who was pleasant to our face, who flattered us, they were doing it for their own wishes. Bodhisattva, though, as we see in the first sentence, they have a motivation to attain enlightenment for the sake of others. So therefore, with a pure motivation, they engage in this first practice of making material offerings in order to create a positive connection with sentient beings. Coming then to the second of the four ways to positively influence others. In order to bring happiness to them, show a warm and radiant expression, speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching them the six perfections and other topics of the Dharma. So I'll read it a second time. In order to bring happiness to them, show a warm and radiant expression, speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching them the six perfections and other topics of the Dharma. In order to bring happiness to them, show a warm and radiant expression, speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching them the six perfections and other topics of the Dharma. The style of communication should be understood in two ways. Show a warm and radiant expression, speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching.
So this way of communication has we should understand in two ways. So the one is in accordance with general social customs, that this is how we engage with others, with a warm and radiant expression, speak gently and pleasantly to them. So that's the normal social custom of how we interact with those that we know and don't know. The meaning here, though, is additional to that, and it specifically relates to teaching the Dharma. So it could be understood then as the fuller presentation. Show a warm and radiant expression. Speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching them the six perfections and other topics of the Dharma. Therefore, we should understand it as primarily, principally, being about how to teach the Dharma. Within the second of the four ways to positively influence others, both meanings of how to interact with others are included. That which is in accordance with social customs is right at the first part of this point. Secondly, in order to bring happiness to them. So this is the part that relates to social customs in terms of how we interact with others, which then follows, show a warm and radiant expression, speak gently and pleasantly. And again, we engage with others in this way, warmth and radiance, gentle and pleasant speech, in order to bring happiness to others. And that too, that social custom, is also in accordance with the Bodhisattva's motivation.
That it's important to follow social customs, and certainly it is for the Bodhisattva too. Imagine the Bodhisattva who wants to benefit others, in particular to teach them the Dharma and guide beings skillfully to enlightenment. If they don't fulfill this first part of acting in accordance with social customs, in other words, if they don't show a warm and radiant expression and speak gently and pleasantly in order to bring happiness to others, but they rather show a rough or angry facial expression. They speak in a harsh and coarse manner. Others are just going to avoid them, run away from them. How can the bodhisattva benefit others and fulfill their objective? So therefore, both the aspect of acting in accordance with social customs, as well as teaching the Dharma in a pleasant manner, both the bodhisattva will engage in both of these. And moreover, with these first 2 points of practicing material generosity, as well as communicating with others in a warm and tender manner, the bodhisattva will be doing so with a motivation of bodhicitta, and they will be thereby, on one hand, creating positive, great mountains of positive karma through practicing generosity and with motivations of love and compassion interacting with others. So they are creating huge stores of virtue, which will help them achieve enlightenment. Their objective, enlightenment for the sake of others. Moreover, through making material offerings, as well as interacting with others in a gentle and tender manner, they're building strong connections with others. And those connections will be able to skillfully utilize in this very life to guide beings in developing virtuous minds and eradicating non-virtuous minds. But a good connection is required. Moreover, independence and building good connections with others in future lives, when the bodhisattva re-encounters this sentient being, in dependence on this good connection, as well as the accumulation of virtue they are creating, they'll be able to continue having a positive impact in the life of the suffering sentient being. And in particular, an impact that is in relation to the Dharma, in relation to helping the sentient being attain enlightenment. So with this very broad approach, looking at this and future lives, the bodhisattva practices material generosity and interacts with others with a warm and radiant expression, speaking gently and pleasantly. Moreover, the bodhisattva will teach the sentient beings 6 perfections at the topic of the Dharma. That's the whole purpose of developing the connection and engaging with them in beneficial ways. They will have set an example already of material generosity
And they'll teach and guide and encourage sentient beings to practice generosity, explaining that from creating the causes of practicing generosity, they can be sure that they will have an abundance of material goods in their future lives. And striving to fulfill one's material needs is what tends to consume so much of sentient beings' time and mental energy. So therefore, if in our future lives we have an abundance of material goods, and we have also cultivated a strong connection with the Dharma, we will have our interest in the Dharma will be able to fulfill or enact our interest or develop our interest in the Dharma without needing to put much time and energy into taking care of our material needs. Explaining this, encouraging skillfully sentient beings will practice generosity and create these causes for happiness. Similarly, the Bodhisattva will teach sentient beings the importance of ethical restraint, teaching them that if the mind isn't restrained in an ethical manner, but one continues to have be under the influence of the afflictions, one's speech will be non-virtuous, one's physical behavior will be non-virtuous, and we will create problems in the lives of others right now, and we'll be creating problems for ourselves right now. We'll have conflicts with others, we won't be trusted by others, others will avoid us. Moreover, with a mind that is not ethical, it's a mind that is not restrained, it's not restrained in that the afflictions haven't been restrained or subdued, and therefore the mere arisal of the afflictions causes one to suffer in this life. So not only does one suffer in this life, we cause others to suffer in this life. And we create the causes that in future lives we will suffer greatly. Ethical restraint is the primary cause for good rebirths, and therefore the Bodhisattva will encourage beings to live ethically. Similarly, the Bodhisattva will encourage others in the trainings of patience, joyous perseverance, and concentration and wisdom, because these are the causes for happiness in this and future lives.
Ani susura rangi nubal babegi da kashile jimba nyamne jishuya, kashile tsudum nyamne jishuya. Ani desul tuya nubal chee dikili ya, ani jimba tsueba tsundugi nyamne. Dini desul ya nubal chee diki, korwa yugen dikili ya, ani shinigi samting nyamne, shinigi tubiagi nyamne jishuya. Ani de nyamne tuya si tobo os kor yugen dikili ya, ani tomba yi kor cheba che, tomba yi doya ki, nilabche kia di se sunya di, tse tsaka chue diya di kachi nyambar mawa se di, Tiniki chu sung ya dida nyamba mawari. Chisa sangye jumne digi diri denshi wara nasile denshi sung chu kor sung wa diya nyambar mawa. Denba shi nyambar mawa sung gore ngana sulya tar dunga siya da digi duya lam denba re. Sangye chu sung ya chasa da nyambar mawari. Jina ji da jirma chigi lamrim chiri chu sung sung ya da. An diri da di ane kiawa sunam jesu ki da lamrim seshi ma sung ya di disulya ngana sulya nyambar mawa chadu yore. Chisa nyambar mawa chadu yore.
So read the second point again. In order to bring happiness to sentient beings, show a warm and radiant expression. Speak gently whilst pleasantly teaching them the six perfections and the other topics of the Dharma. The Bodhisattva, therefore, will use their skillful means to relate to beings in accordance with their own specific karmic backgrounds and their own individual personalities. Some may be more inclined to the practice of generosity, others ethics, others perhaps wisdom, others perhaps concentration. However the Bodhisattva can most benefit beings, the Bodhisattva will skillfully engage with them in this way. And they'll do so through teaching the six perfections as well as other topics of the Dharma. For example, today is the anniversary of the Buddha giving the first Dharma teaching in this world, that of the Four Noble Truths. And so the Buddha knew that the best teaching for those beings before him then was that teaching, the Four Noble Truths. And
this tradition of the, or this continuity of that teaching and all those that followed, and that were then commentated on by great masters in both India and Tibet, has continued through today in the living tradition of great beings such as His Holiness, as well as the texts of former great beings such as the Lama Tsongkhapa's Song of Spiritual Experience, the short Lam Rim, which has been commented here in our text, The Essence of Refined Gold, by the third Dalai Lama. This whole process has been kept alive, was initiated and kept alive by initially Buddha Shakyamuni and all the great enlightened masters. Coming to the third, then engage sentient beings in practicing the intent of the actual Buddha Dharma with consistency between their activities and its meaning. So I'll read it again. Engage them in practicing the intent of the actual Buddha Dharma with consistency between their activities and its meaning. The third one again, engage sentient beings in practicing the intent of the actual Buddha Dharma with consistency between their activities and its meaning. The third then of the four ways of positively influencing others is that in the second, the Bodhisattva taught the Dharma to sentient beings. In the third, they're encouraged and guided in putting it into practice, because there's the intent of the Dharma is not for beings to merely gather knowledge, but for that knowledge to be integrated within the mind of beings. And in this way, for the Dharma to arise in their minds, that is the actual intent of the Buddha Dharma. So therefore, the Bodhisattva will skillfully guide beings in taking the knowledge that they have received and integrating it within their way of thinking through reflecting on it well, and then also acting it out, putting it into practice beyond the mental level, into the physical and verbal level. So for example, encouraging through teaching generosity, then encouraging and guiding their students in how to be generous. So showing the different ways of generosity, the three divisions, and encouraging beings to where they are more comfortable giving, to give in those ways. And in terms of ethics, to teach the three divisions of ethics in clear detail, to give students opportunities to receive vows, whether the vows of the non-ordained or the ordained, and to encourage their students to receive those vows. And then to also encourage those, let's say there are students who for their work or their pleasure, they kill a lot of animals. The Bodhisattva will encourage them to, at least for a period, to not kill. If they have to kill for their livelihood, encourage them for at least for a period not to kill. And then also to make the promise not to take human life. So even though this person may not take human life, but through making the promise, making the vow, merit is accumulated. And the Bodhisattva will encourage them to at least commit to abandoning the other non-virtues, such as those relating to speech. In this way, the Bodhisattva will skillfully guide beings in accordance with their own individual personalities and karmic backgrounds. Similarly here with the third one, engage sentient beings in practicing the intent of the actual Buddha Dharma with consistency between the activities and its meaning, The Bodhisattva would encourage those who have an abundance of material wealth, whether that abundance is slight or great, to engage in material generosity. And to facilitate that, the Bodhisattva may present themselves as a beggar. They may emanate as a beggar so as to give that sentient being an opportunity to practice material generosity and accumulate merit. And for those students who are absolutely impoverished and cannot offer a practice generosity, a material generosity at all, the Bodhisattva then will encourage that student to make offerings on behalf of the teacher. The Bodhisattva teacher would encourage their student to make offerings on their behalf. The Bodhisattva would say, "Here, please offer this." And in this skillful way, the student will be guided to create virtue.
dinik lobtenje te koron tu lya kewa sa chu ba kewa smo su la len de kewa sa chu kore dinik kewa sa ba di kewa sa ba di da di kewa sa ba nza kewa di digi du ye ge ku che goro wa chin che san kewa chi ma ma on ba na digi yo ku di du che ne sa chu che dinik sa den cha churum sun go ro se de ne je de be churum sun yo de xian le ne be san ba cha san ba ga ju ga go re xian le ne be san ba dige cha san Then, Drogo, Gawinia, Bokanisuvi, and Tisulia, and Dinigi, and Timbe, and Yamlin, Mosola, Chike, Chichisaman, Gisheva, Najing, Nazuki, in a gang to Chiduki, and Sosuki, and the Chiki Robache, Tone, Uncle Busuata, Yamper Mawala, Sovacheta, and Ditone, and Gordia, and Timbe, and Yamlin, Chichuya, and the Subi, and Yamleta, and Tutu Yamla Soba, gang to Chichuya, Nanzu in there, and Chisaman, you do now an Aji, Nazunan in a gang to Yontu. Gang
We'll conclude then at the third of the 4 points tonight. To summarize then what we've looked at is the Bodhisattva strives in the cultivation in their continuum of the six perfections, cultivating an ethical outlook, a generous outlook, a patient outlook, concentration, wisdom, and so forth, in order to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And together with this, the Bodhisattva also engages in the four ways to positively influence others. As the Bodhisattva thereby is spiritually developing, she shares her knowledge and skill with others through these four ways of positively influencing others. So her skill in these six perfections and other topics of the Buddha Dharma is then taught to others. First connection is created in through material generosity, and together with this, the Dharma is presented and students are guided in how to practice that Dharma, how to cultivate it in their own continuums. So for example, in terms of ethical restraint, students will be presented the different divisions and understand the topic in a faultless manner, and then be encouraged, those who are quite limited in their capacity will be encouraged that to at least refrain their physical behavior, to act physically, in a physical manner, in a physical ethical manner. Those who can will be encouraged to speak in an ethical manner. And best of all, students will be encouraged to restrain their mind and thereby to restrain their body and speech. So not just with a mere determination of not killing, but to remove the intent to kill from the mind. In this and many other ways, the Bodhisattva cultivates the six perfections within themselves and then presents them to others, encourages and guides others in how to develop them. And this is how the Bodhisattva combines these two, the six perfections and the four ways to positively influence others. So we ourselves should follow the example of Bodhisattvas, train well in the six perfections and live under their guidance, interact with others as best we can through the expression of the six perfections. And with those with whom we have an appropriate or a good relationship, where appropriate, we should encourage them too through the four ways of positively influencing others. Talk to them about generosity, ethics, and patience, and so forth. Where we have those appropriate situations, we should use our knowledge and our experience. But we should do so as we see in the third point, in a way that's consistent between where we keep our activities consistent with the meaning of the Buddha Dharma. This is important. Live as an example. And through following the example of our role models, we soon will become like them. In this way, we also become propounders of the Buddha Dharma, and we also are involved in fulfilling the intent of the Lamrim itself. So thank you. We'll conclude here for tonight. Thank you.